I'll take two of them. Yeah, I took two shots of that for your locators.
Roger, Ed, and we'll go for the readings.
Okay, be there in a second.
Ground elapsed time, 132 hours, 40 minutes. We're 52 minutes since cabin depress.
Fredo?
Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, I'm on high scale. X is 9.6. Y, 4.2. D, 7.3.
Okay, copy.
Those are magnetometer readings given by Mitchell.
6. Y, 3.8. D, 6.7. X, 9.6. Y, 3.7. D, 6.5.
Okay, I got all readings then.
And that was a high scale reading.
Roger, high scale.
Second TDS serial number 1001.
Shepard, talking about the thermal degradation sample.
LPM number 2, and
okay, let me know when you're back at the med.
Okay, just a second. I wanted to tell you that in my leveling of these things, the bubble is tangent to the inner circle to the north on both the first and the second alignment.
Roger, copy that.
And I'm back at the Met.
Okay, and the clock is starting again. Got a few seconds there, Ed. The raindrop pattern you mentioned, is it pretty general, or is it just here and there that you noted this texture?
That seems to be fairly general, Fred. Hey, Houston, the GDS sampling is complete, and the final counter close up is reading 311.
Roger, Al, I copied on 1001, serial number, final count 311. And Ed, you can you go for the reading.
Okay. Hey there, baby. Okay. Okay, Fredo, on high scale again. X.
Degradation sample, Shepard was checking the adherence of dust to the kinds of paints to be used on the rover. The rover started with Apollo 15.
Okay, and Al, word from the back room says go at least 2 crater diameters away from, I guess, the crater you were just describing when you get ready to take the double core.
Okay, we'll try to put in the center of the 3 craters to get all 3, well, to get whatever stratigraphy we have here. And the last billet's picture, shadow 9 o'clock, was 18.
All right, Joe.
Okay. And since I've already taken a couple of pictures of the Met tracks, I won't do any more of that here, and probably won't again unless we see some difference in these tracks. They're fairly what you might expect, because they're smooth, they're well packed, and very in depth only as a function of the surface tension. Better, I've left the LPM returning to the Met. Had a little trouble with it at that time. The bubble is tangent on the east side of the center ring.
Okay, it's on the east side. Let me know when you get there.
I'm at the Met.
Starting the clock.
Each section of the double core to be taken at this site is about 15 inches long.
Okay, I'll set up for the double core here.
Okay, I'll be with you in a second. I have a pan to take, and I'll be right with you. Be careful with the Velcro on the tongue. You can see it came off except for one patch.
Yeah, I understand. I know, he just... right in here, it's about the right size.
It'll go in that outer pocket, fine. I'll carry it, or one of us.
Yeah, we'll go down that way. Also a 16 millimeter mag.
Okay, core tubes. Okay, Pedro, you about ready?
Okay, 1 minute. Go ahead.
Okay, Y, this is high scale. Y is 1.0. I'm sorry, X is 1.0. Y is 8.1. D is 6.6. Second set, X is 1.0. Y is 8.1. D is 6.6. Third set, X is 1.0. Y 8.1. D is 6.65.
Roger, Ed, and I assume all of those were high scale again.
Those were all high scale, that's firm.
Third set of magnetometer readings from Mitchell.
Okay, the bottom core tube will be number 2, no tab. Top core tube will be number 3, no tab.
Roger, Al. Top number 3, no tab. Bottom number 2, no tab.
That is correct.
The core tube numbers given out by Shepard will be used for later identification of the samples to identify the top and bottom tubes. We're at 132 hours, 52 minutes ground elapsed time, 1 hour, 4 minutes since cabin depress.
This is a can of worms.
Aye.
you having some problem reeling in there, Ed?
Yeah, an awful lot of problem with it, friend. Setting the cable is so much that if I ever let go of the handle, it winds down about 3 or 4 turns on me. And I have to, at least, then I have to take it back up. And the cable is all bunched up and curled out here. It's, I'm not sure I'm going to get it wound or not.
Roger, Ed.
That's the magnetometer cable Mitchell was talking about.
Okay, Houston, a couple of quick stereos and a locator of the core tube as it's about to be driven. And the locator of the limb is in the background.
Roger.
Houston, we got almost 2 complete tubes here, about 1 7/8 tubes, I would say.
Roger.
Shepard reporting he has 2 tubes. These, of course, sampled.
Crater right in the bottom of it, and several fallen ones around it.
Yeah, that's a fairly blocky one, that new one. I think if you take samples from right along that rim there, you'll probably get some of that from the bottom.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we copied Alan.
Okay, and the Corvette, just for the fun of it, is going in bag 2 November. I can get it back.
And, Al, they'd like a description of the surface where you drove the core tube.
Surface was the same textured pattern of which we spoke coming up in this traverse.
Where's our color chart?
Continuing, on a description of the surface, it appears to be a kind of population of very small blocks, some of which Ed is going to photograph here in his documented sample. I believe they came from the crater to the north of the sampling site. Other than that, the double core sample site is not unique to the traverse so far. The first core went in fairly easily. It had some increasing difficulty with the last core.
Roger out.
By yourself?
Yep.
Hours, 3 minutes ground elapsed time. 1 hour, 15 minutes since cabin depress.
Houston, the rock I'm sampling is it seems to be a fairly typical one of this little crater, multiple crater that we're working around right now near A. And it's going into bag 3 November.
Roger, Ed, copy, 3 November.
Breaking apart on me as I pick it up.
I'll try to get most of the pieces.
Roger, Ed. And, Ian, we need to move on here to be, and before we depart, we're going to need an EMU check.
Okay. This is Al's EMU reading 3.75. Oxygen is reading 71. I have no flags. I'm on min cooling and I'm comfortable.
Al?
Yeah?
Can you hand me another a baggie?
Okay.
Just that I can't get all of this sample in 3N. Consequently, it'll go into 3N and the next one. It looked like it was fractured, and when I picked it up, it fractured into about four pieces.
Okay.
Roger, Ed.
The fractured sample was a documented sample picked up by Ed Mitchell. The crew should be getting ready to move on to the second station here shortly.
Cooling, no flags.
Roger.
mind to continue with the description a little bit? Just in the, trying to think of an adequate description or a comparison of something we've already seen, but I don't think there is one. Incidentally, I see a string of craters down to the south, a string of boulders to the south of us that may prove to be a ray pattern as we from Cone. And I observe as we get closer to the Cone, the number of large boulders is increasing. We're going to go past some here in a couple of minutes near about a 20-foot wide, fairly fresh crater. The boulders, a dozen of them or so, are 4 or 5 feet in diameter.
Roger.
Anything around them?
Okay, let's see if we can find this.
This crater is the one, I think, Al. It's halfway between A and B, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. This little...
Can you see the boulders off to the side there on the map?
Sure, very well. I think...
You should be able to spot that little chain of craters just to the south of us on the map, if that's where we think we are.
Well, that little chain of craters right there.
Kind of small.
Yeah, I think it's right here.
Pardon?
There's no big one to go with it. No sharp one to go with it.
Shepard Mitchell describing the terrain on their walk from station A to B.
Yeah, let's take a look.
That's probably weird right up here. We're probably about even with weird right now, although we can't see it on the ridge.
Now that's weird, that big one right over there, Al.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think B is that deep crater right directly ahead of us, Ed.
No, I disagree. I think, see that crater right over there we came by? To the south, the big one?
Yep.
I think this is the crater that be. I think that's boulder field. We can see it here. We look.
The crater right here?
Yep.
The area being walked through is a valley.
We have to be considerably past weird.
Not even halfway to the rim of Cone yet.
More boulder field, more numerous boulders than we've seen in the past. could just come into it as we approached B from A. Now, there were boulders to the north of us. We previously talked to boulders to the north, and they may turn out to be a ray pattern. It looks suspiciously like one. However, where we are now, we're about on the edge of a general boulder population lining the flank of Cone Crater. Now, they're not too numerous at this point. They're somewhat patchy. There's a lot of them buried, half buried. A few of the smaller ones sitting on the surface. These boulders are filleted, and we'll have to sample that filleting later. The surface texture, the fine, appears very much the same as what we've been walking on all along. And about the only difference we could see is probably a larger number of smaller craters. I say probably. There's a numerous, unless you really make a population count, you can't tell. I'm guessing a larger number of craters, probably secondaries from Cone, perhaps. And certainly a larger number of boulders lying around. Now, most of these boulders are rounded. There are a few angular ones. There are a few rocks with angularities. But by and large, you can see edges that have been chipped off, indicating the beginning of a smoothing process. And some of them are far beyond the beginning of smoothing. They're worn down pretty well. And most of the rough edges are where they have fractured and perhaps turned over. Most of them appear to be along fractures or where other rocks are sitting near them that might have once been a part of that boulder.
Roger, Ed, and has Al got the grab sample completed now?
Al's getting it now.
Grabbing it now.
I'm just going to give you a quick stereo on it.
Okay, and we need a frame count before departing B, and right now we're about 15 minutes behind in the timeline.
Okay. Better we expect you're going to fall behind you. There's no way we can help it. We'll pick it up later.
Roger.
The grab sample is a flight plan change, the grab sample replacing the documented sample.
Okay, grab sample from the west rim of Bravo Crater, bag 5 November.
Right now,
been able to complete this description. We are standing on a fairly high point, well, not really on a high point, about halfway up the slope, to our north and slightly to the west of us. Seems to be the low point in this area. It's surrounded by a rim that's reminiscent of a very, very old crater. The topography doesn't show up on the map, but indeed it's there. About 500 yards to the north and west is the lowest point that I can see in this area. Can we ready to press on?
As soon as I got my handle screwed back on here.
Okay. The next stop is the top of Cone. Get everything secured for that trip.
Okay, and I would like a frame count before you depart.
Yeah. You got a frame count of 3-4 from Al.
And 2-9 from Ed.
All right, the 3-4 and 2-9.
And it worked loose for you?
Yep.
Okay, I've got the map.
Okay, you want to go first and I'll follow.
Okay. To the top of Cone Crater.
Yeah, now let's,
we're starting the clock.
Supposed to go almost to the east here and then on my flank.
East a little bit to
see this flank up there.
Just barely see the rim of it on the far side.
Right, so we probably ought to head directly for flank and on up from there.
Okay. sound is, Al's probably previously described it, but it's very undulating. I would suspect that there is not 10 yards at the most between what were once old craters. They are most of them worn down, but the surface is continuously undulating. There's hardly a level spot anywhere.
Roger, Ed.
Lots of, as we come on up toward Cone, we're getting, seeing lots more buried rocks, bigger rocks.
We're keeping our eyes open for a contact here, but because of the sun angle, it makes it very difficult to see. However, I expect that by the time we get a little closer up to Frank, we pull it for a while.
That's a shift hand. I'm good.
Okay. By the time we get a little closer up to Frank, we might find some kind of a contact. The range of Cone Crater to the north is very apparent, as we expected that it would be. It stretches off into the distance and meets with the far horizon.
Roger, Al.
Senator, I'm trying to find something distinctive to say about some of these craters we're going by, and very hard to do so. They're all smooth walled, except the very freshest one, and we're coming by a very fresh one now, which is rubbly on the end. Hey, it may even, that has some pretty good chunks of rubble on the inside. This is about the freshest crater this size we've seen, Al.
That's correct. This is a very fresh crater. It's about, opposite to the crater at Stop E. It's a crater about 20 meters in diameter and about 2 meters deep, and I'll get a quick rock from the side.
All right,
oh, down. Too. I'll just drop down on a knee, pick up a rock, and he went in 3 or 4 inches. Need some help, Al?
Yeah, I think so. I can't get any.
Okay. Come and give me your hand.
I mean, I got it now. Okay.
Okay, come on up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're on your feet.
Okay, just a quick hand sample from the side of that crater.
You think you're following this, know about where we are, Fredo?
The board, I think, has a reading for you just past the position of beam of E. Looking about halfway between B and D.
That's good. And, rising it quick.
Yeah. And we're starting uphill now. I'm fairly gentle at this point, but it's definitely uphill.
Okay, baby. Okay, I got
almost turned, didn't it?
Yeah. And that grab sample from the west rim of the crater, we describe as blocky, is in bag 6.
Roger, bag 6.
Shepard, Mitchell, about two-thirds of the way now to Cone Crater.
Okay, the going is still very smooth as far as the area they were able to pick out. Of course, we're tracing kind of a sinuous course here, getting out of the craters.
And Fredo, we're help further locate us if you can. We're going by two very, well, fairly fresh craters. I don't think quite as fresh as the one we were just talking about. The eastmost one is fresher. The westmost one is the freshest. They're separated about 75 to 100 feet, and they're about 25 to 30 feet across. And 5 feet deep, I guess. The westmost one has got small blocks in it. The I'm not sure that's quite true, Fred. Some of it looked like stuff that belonged there that had not fallen there.
There's a lot of glass in that rock here.
Yeah. Oh, there sure is. It looked like some of that so-called rubble looked like it had might be the residual of an impact just lying in the bottom. And Houston, we're passing a rock much too big to pick up. There's a whale of a lot of glass in it.
Roger. About how big is it?
Yeah. Look. It's about a foot and a half, 2 foot. Yeah, about a foot and a half across.
Roger, Ed, and we copied the glass. Okay, Alan, Ed, I assume you're on the move now and heading toward flank. Is that correct?
That's correct. Heading toward where we think flank is. I'll pull for a while, Al.
That's okay, I got it for us.
Shepard pulling the Met at this time.
This big crater. Okay, take a break, get the map, see if we can find out exactly where we are. Press on from there. This one should be distinctive enough.
And, Alan, Ed, while you're stopped here, we could use a photo pin.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that. We'll take the pan, Alan. I'll grab the map and get over here and see if we find it.
Okay. You pull it up on the room all over behind
here. Okay. Give you a push.
Okay, there we are. Level?
That looks good.
Okay.
And then now we're going to have a tight hand over here.
system, the pad is complete on magazine, magazine Lima Lima. Frame count is 5-7.
Roger, 5-7 now.
You're breaking up, Fred.
Copy, 5-7. How's that?
Read again.
Hey,
Ed,
are
you reading?
Yeah,
read.
Ed, you read Houston?
Can't read Fred, no. You're breaking up completely.
Okay. Start on up toward the rim?
Yeah, just 1 second though. Think I've got it.
See, I'll hit on out.
Fredo, can you read?
Go ahead, Dad.
I'm getting the feedback of my own voice.
Okay, yeah, I'm coming through.
Okay. Tell me to pull the while out.
Okay. Okay,
I'm with it. I can't really spot this crater, but I think I know where we are. We're pretty close to where you said we were.
Yes, and your transmissions are still unreadable.
Roger, Al. I hadn't been talking.
That's
how do you read me now?
I think it's dead ahead of y'all. Oh, wait a minute. This is probably it right here. Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep. Let's just double check and see.
It's got about a 4-meter radius crater in the south wall.
That has to be it.
Okay, Houston, we're going by flank on the way up. We're passing to the north side of it.
Roger, Al. Copy.
Fred, you're still unreadable.
Let me pull a while out.
Both Shepard and Mitchell heart rates going up to about 120 while they were traveling uphill.
Putting the map away.
Eh?
I'm just putting the map away.
All right.
With the higher rates, this occasioned the rest stop. We're at 100.
Okay.
We're at 133 hours, 34 minutes of ground lapse time.
Fred, you're back with us?
Okay, I'll try again. How do you read that?
Okay, that's much better. You got a background squeal.
Okay, evidently that station switch gave us some problems. I've been copying both of y'all away, though. We have you now just passing flank. Okay, we've been copying you most of the time, and I have you by flank now.
That's affirmative. And the grade's getting pretty steep.
You got any estimate?
And the soil here is a bit firmer, I think, than we've been on before. Except around what the mounds in between craters where it's been thrown up.
but by and large it seems to have a little firmer footing. We're not sinking in as deep.
Now that should help you with the climb there.
Yeah, it helps a little bit. Al's picked up the back. Al's got the back of the mat now, and we're curing it up. I think it seems easier.
Right.
There are two guys here that figured you'd carry it up.
Say again?
So there's two guys sitting next to me here that kind of figured you'd end up carrying it up.
Well, it'll roll along here, except we just move faster carrying it.
Okay, you want to rest here by this rock?
Okay.
This is the first big boulder we've seen, Houston. I think it's worthwhile taking a picture of it with the close-up. Go ahead and keep going.
I'll pull on up. Probably ought to take a pan to locate everything here while you're taking the close-up.
Okay, I understand, Al. You're shooting a close-up shot of a big boulder. Now, what's the size of this one, Al?
Okay, a shot's been taken on the close-up, counter number 317. Sun angle was 8 o'clock. This particular one is only about 12 feet long by about 4 feet wide. It's about one-third buried. It's old, very weathered. There are some evidences of some crystal shining through some of the fractures.
And I've taken a Hasselblad out of the rock, and we'll take a pan now from this location. Help document our course going to the top of Cone Crater.
Roger, copy.
The reference to carrying the met up to the ridge of Cone Crater, the backup crew is here at the Capcom console, and apparently they had a bet on pre-flight. We're at 133 hours, 39 minutes. Ground elapsed time, 1 hour, 50 minutes since cabin depress.
I can look right across into the breach in the north rim of Old Nameless. We're about even with it now.
Okay, and copy that. And was there any noticeable dust on the large boulder?
Not where I took the picture. There was some fillets around the bottom.
Okay, copy now.
Okay, and 44, Fred, was my frame count.
Roger, Ed.
I believe that was, if I remember it. And I'm going to move on out. Al's ahead of me here.
Shepard Mitchell pressing on now toward the rim of Cone Crater.
Flank of the crater now, Houston. The slope is probably about 18%. The surface texture is still Pretty much the same as far as the raindrop pattern is concerned. But we seem to find an increasing population of smaller rocks.
Roger.
Small rocks and smaller pressure craters as well. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm being deceived. With this slope, the sun angle is entirely different than it is on the flatland. The craters look sharper in these shadows.
Okay, let's make an EMU stop.
Okay, let me pull around.
I'd like to stop and rest here for a minute.
Okay.
Boy, I tell you, we're really going to get a panorama. We've got a tremendous one here, Houston, already. And we're not quite to the rim. That towards that little nameless is over there. Right along our track, or just to the south of our track, I should say. And we made the right approach. We came up through the valley and over the ridge and down into the bowl. Couldn't have planned it better.
I thought we were in a low spot with the limb, but it turns out we're really not the lowest spot around, I don't think.
I don't know. I'd say it's probably the lowest spot right there.
Oh, right in that particular local area.
Right that area, yeah.
But that's the low spot over to the right that I was talking about. And there's a low spot.
Well, there's a crater over there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Doggone, you can sure be deceived by slopes here. The sun angle is very deceiving.
Yep.
Okay, let me pull around. You ready to go?
Yeah. What's that?
Let me go back to Min Cooler. Minim Cooler first.
Guess right straight up is the best way to go.
Big bird.
Right straight up is the best way
to
go.
I think so.
Stay away from the rocks.
Okay, get a little momentum going.
Hey, yes, and we're proceeding onward now.
Hi, Joe.
In the boulder field, as I pointed out, the rocks and boulders get more numerous towards the top here. However, it's nothing like the rubble and the large boulders that we saw at the Nevada test site. Now, this is surprising to me. I expected it to be more like that, but it is not, at least not where we're looking now. Oh boy, we got fooled on that one. I'm not sure that was flank we were at a minute ago either. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. The rim's right here. That's the east. The shoulder running down from the cone. That flank over there. We're going to hit it on the south side. We'll have to move on around, but this looks like easy going right here. See, there's the boulder field that shows in the photograph right up ahead of us.
There's a crater up there, man.
Yeah. Pardon?
Crater up there.
Alan, Ed, we'd like you to take another stop here.
Okay. We're really going up a pretty steep slope here.
Yeah, we kind of figured that from listening to you.
Okay, well, now that's apparently the rim of cone over there. And, we're about almost 2 hours now, is that right, Fred?
Okay, we're showing 157 and a half now.
Okay. That's at least 30 minutes up there.
Yep.
And I would say we'd probably do better to go up to those boulders there.
Yep.
Document that. Use that as a turnaround point.
Yep. It's going to take longer than we expected. Our positions are all in doubt now, Brito. What we were looking at was a flank, but it wasn't really, the top of it wasn't the rim of cone. We got a ways to go yet.
Okay, Ed, and,
Well, perhaps you can think. Perhaps you can think with us if you want. I'd say, that the rim is at least, 30 minutes away. We're approaching the edge of the boulder field here on the south flank.
Let's look at the map.
And what I'm proposing is perhaps we use that as a turnaround point. It seems to me that we spend an awful lot of time in traverse if we don't, and we don't get very many samples.
Roger, Al. And just a couple of questions I have up now. I'd like your note if you do see any dust, particularly on the top surfaces of boulders in the area, and any comparisons between the boulders you see distributed around, are they all the same, or do some types appear different?
It's too early to make that sort of judgment, but we'll tell you when we get there. They're not really in that boulder territory yet.
I think, Fredo, if you'll keep those questions in mind, best thing for us to do is to get up here and document and sample what I feel is pretty sure is the cone ejecta. And then when we head down sun, we'll be able to see these subtle variations in rock types a lot better than we are right now.
Roger.
Shepard's heart rate rose to 150. Mitchell's 128. This occasion, the second rest stop.
Okay, Alan, Ed, in view of your essay of the where your location is and how long it's going to take to get to Cone, the word from the back room is that I'd like you to consider where you are at the edge of Cone Crater.
Thank you, Frank.
Okay, that decision, I guess, was based on Al's estimate of another at least 30 minutes, and of course we cannot see that from here. It's kind of your judgment on that.
Mitchell reporting they're three quarters of the way to Cone Crater. We'll stand by.
Why don't we lose our bet, Al, and leave the bet and get on up there? We could make it a lot faster without it.
Yeah. I think what we're looking at right here in this boulder field that is a stuff that's ejected from Cone.
And not the lowermost part, which is what we're interested in.
Okay. Well, press on a little further, Houston, and keep our eye on the time.
Okay, and so right now we have a 30-minute extension.
That call up from Fred Hayes, a 30-minute extension to the EVA time. We'll stand by.
And Al, did you copy 30-minute extension?
We got it.
Yeah, that's affirmative, Fred. Thank you. Inflow, and we're moving again.
Zeke says he'll cover the bed if he'll drop the med.
Now, it's not that hard with the mat. We need those tools.
Now, the mat's not slowing us down, Houston. Just a question of time. We'll get there.
Roger, Al.
Give me a hand, Al.
It's all right.
Ground elapsed time 133 hours 58 minutes, 2 hours 9 minutes since cabin depressurization.
Let me set mine, Houston, if I'm okay, sir.
That's firm, Ed. I guess the low item is the batteries.
Mitchell trying to hold the Met steady, the pull cart steady, as they're going through this boulder field en route to the rim of Cone Crater. Mitchell stopping short at this point to acquire some rock samples.
Right here to show that.
matter of fact, I think I'll do that right now.
Roger, Al. And for your information, we won't be doing the polarimetric experiment.
Understand you will not be.
That's firm. You can delete that one. Roger, Al, and Ed, need an opinion. Do you think you'd be able to deploy and take the second and last LTM reading at this location?
Yeah, we can take it at this location.
Okay, what I have on the board here to perform at, I guess we'll call it C prime, is sample, and I guess you already got a pan. I thought somebody did, and the LPM then.
Okay. Okay, let me suggest that we take one of these football-sized rocks from here too, Fredo.
Yep.
Roger, Al. Very good.
Right now is we're sampling in is a pretty darn rugged boulder strewn area. One of the boulder rocks I sampled is going into 7N.
Alan, Ed, when you can work it in, we'd like an EMU check.
Hey, Al, 3.75. And reading 5.2 on the oxygen, and I'm in medium flow, and I'm comfortable. No flags.
Okay, I'm reading 3.75 and 4.8 on oxygen. I'm now in mid flow, having just shifted. And I'm comfortable.
Roger.
Okay, LPM deploy.
Roger. Shepard, Mitchell stopping short of the rim of Cone Crater in a boulder field. At this position, they will take a magnetometer reading, gather samples, including perhaps a football-sized rock, and photography.
Okay, the core tube sample turned out to only be about 3/4 of a tube. The area is apparently very rocky, but I did get down into the second layer, the underlying layer of the regolith, which was white as opposed to being dark brown.
Shepard reports taking core sample.
Roger, Al. Understand you got down to another layer that looked white below the dark brown.
On second thought, forget that core tube. It's too granular. Most of the material came out of the tube. I'll just scoop a couple of samples and bag it of the of the two top layers.
Roger, Al.
Disrupted the surface regolith and got on down into the gray area.
Roger.
Heart rates on the two crew members down appreciably now. Shepard 108, Mitchell 86. Shepard working harder at this time, taking samples while Mitchell leveling the magnetometer.
Okay, and Ed, is the LPM still in your immediate area then?
Yep.
Okay, they wanted a temperature reading off of it.
Okay, okay, wait a minute.
Okay, and Al, did you mention either seeing a white boulder or a brown, brownish gray boulder earlier?
I mentioned there's a boulder definitely whitish in color, Fred, and we'll be over there in a minute. Not in our immediate vicinity. Definitely looks worthwhile sampling.
That's the firm they concur here and would like you to sample from the white boulder. Go ahead, Ed.
125 on the LPM.
Roger, copy.
Okay, where did you hit for him?
Well,
okay.
One thing we ought to do, I'm going to drag the mat with us, is, see that white boulder down there?
Yeah, I saw it. That's
we can sample both types of boulders right down in the area, so let's go on down there.
Right.
And, can you give us a feel, Houston, about when you'd like us to leave the area?
Okay, our estimated time of departure is in about 8 minutes, 7.5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Got the hammer? I'll grab it.
Okay. I guess we'll just, run down there this way, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
I see one of these boulders, Fred O, is, broken open. They're really brown boulders on the outside, and the inner face that's broken is white. And there's another one that most of it is white. They are right in the same area.
Okay, Ed, I assume you're going to sample some of those.
That's probably
that's where we're headed right now. It's about 50 yards away.
Why don't you go on down and start? Let me bring the mat down.
All right. Yeah, it's further than it looked.
That's the order of the day.
Okay, Fredo, I'm right in the midst of a whole pile of very large boulders here. It's, see what I can do to grab a meaningful sample.
Roger, Ed.
First of all, let me start by photographing. Area.
climb to see if I can chip one.
Okay, Ed, now.
Okay. Set on.
To get us back on the old timeline here, when you depart the sea here, we'd like to proceed directly to F, Weird, and we'll pick back up from that point. En route, you can make grab samples as you see fit.
Okay.
And another note I'll remind you of later on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've chipped off one of the white rocks. I put it in bag 13 in. I'll photograph it. There don't seem to be any samples of the white rocks lying around that are small enough for me to sample and be sure it's what I'm looking for.
Roger, Ed. 13 in.
Just going around picking up inside grab samples from the immediate vicinity of where Ed is operating. I have a couple that are going in bag 16.
Roger.
Apollo Control Houston, 134 hours, 24 minutes, 2 hours, 36 minutes since cabin depress. Two of the stops have been deleted in the traverse. The tasks that were scheduled for Station E will be moved back to Station G. The next stop will be at Station F from
help with that one. That's a good note. With a football sized rock, Houston, coming out of this area, which will not be bagged. It is appears to be the prevalent rock of the boulders of the area. Okay. Got it.
Roger, Al, we copy.
That's going one of the Z's.
Roger,
right.
Al, we copy.
Okay, you got samples of that white rock?
Yeah, I got one batch of particles.
Okay, put it right in here.
Make them go.
Yeah. Core tubes out of the way. Let it go. Okay, we just turn it back that way.
Okay, and Alan, Ed, we have about one more minute here at sea.
Okay, we're moving on down the hill now. Okay, can you see Weird from here?
No.
You're all right, you're fine.
I can't even see Triplet from here.
Okay, let's...
Wait a minute, Al. Let me take one quick look at the map before we move. Waste a minute looking.
Why don't you take the map, and I'll just head down to General Area and Lamb, and it's probably good enough. But elevation view from down there so we can see Weird. Okay, we're leaving sea now, Houston.
Roger, Al. And to rephrase the question earlier on the way back down, you might... integrate any distinction in the lithology on the way back with a better sun angle, and you're free to take grab samples en route to Weird.
Okay.
Al, I think that's Weird. To the north, I mean just to the left,
of North Triplet. And North Triplet appears to me to be right behind the limb.
Yeah.
You agree?
It's halfway between those two large boulders and one way down.
Yeah, I think that's right. Uh-huh. That's the one.
Okay. These rocks, these boulders in this field here appear to be very weathered. Obviously not by atmosphere, but eroded by some process, because they all show cracks. They show evidences of being broken up, either by impact or subsequently. And it looks to me as though these rocks are really pretty old.
Roger, Al, and do you have anything left on the 16 millimeter, or has it been running on the mid?
No, it hasn't. It might turn on now and follow the progress.
Roger, Al. Taking any extra time, if you come across any boulders large enough, we might fill the comp check on the way down, if you hadn't already done that on the way up.
I don't think we're going to find any along our path big enough, Fredo. The very largest ones are off to the right, south of us a bit. Got up the hill a bit more.
What's going on? Are you on the thing back there?
No.
Oh, okay.
You want me to hold you back?
That's right.
Big Rapids, you're going to go over here a minute.
Shepherd's O2 suit temperature had peaked in the 80s, but now reading in the high 60s. Mitchell's present readings in the high 70s.
I hear again, Houston, the texture here appears to be irregular. There appears to be a lot of pebbles, approximately a quarter of an inch on down, that go along with the sides. And the same textured pattern we spoke of before in photographs is also here.
Roger.
Okay, where we stop here seems to be really going weird.
The limb doesn't seem like it's getting much closer.
Is that weird right down there, you think?
What? Yeah, weird is, be weird is almost due east of the limb.
And Alan Ed would like an EMU check.
It's subdued.
Okay, this is now 3.75 and, 45%, and I'm in medium flow, and I'm comfortable.
Okay, this is Ed. I'm on 3.75 min flow. I'm 40% and very comfortable. And there's Weird, Al. You can see the triple crater in it. It's
okay.
The white spot.
Right.
Got it?
Yep. With the boulder in the near foreground.
Yep.
Boulder field, Houston, and heading on down the flank.
Roger, Al.
Yeah, maybe just a shot, get a sample of that baby right there. Let's grab some from that one.
Alright.
We're just gonna get a quick grab here of a rock and I'll photograph it because it's got some tremendous fillets on it. Don't hit the fillets till I photograph it.
Right.
Not that one, just let me get a quick shot there. A quick, pan across there. Okay. That looks like, I'll be able to get a piece of that baby.
Oh man, that's hard, hard, hard. Look at that melt in it.
Yeah. Okay, here's a piece of it.
Back. Don't lay him back here.
Crystals here, don't do it. Okay, that was about, that's about where we... No, I guess not.
Hold it a minute. Hold it, let me get it back.
Okay.
It's done. Drag dispenser is not doing what it's supposed to do.
Go ahead and take two. Small.
Houston, the rock we're taking is a 14N.
Roger, Ed, 14N.
Filleted rock. Large filleted rock to the Al photograph. Okay, let's go on. Do you want me to pull one?
No, just watch everything. You want to drop off.
And you want me to hold back a while? And...
No. Let's just let it run. I'm not going to lose anything.
No, it's holding in very well. Doesn't turn over.
A little higher CG now than they had before with that big rock in there.
Meanwhile, in Kitty Hawk, Stu Russo has just finished Descartes photography.
Fred, could you give us an idea of about what time we should arrive at Beard?
Standby one.
What time?
For this, Rev, Russo didn't use the Hikon Lunar topographic camera. The Hasselblad with a 500mm lens was used instead. Meanwhile, it is undecided which camera will be used for the Rev coming up for this photography.
That 16mm is bouncing all over the place.
That'd be good. Good,
it's taking photos from every view.
Looks like that cut's fairly deep, though.
Yeah. Let's, hey, here's a whole batch of them right down here, Al. Let's grab those.
Which way, left or right?
Up to the left and ahead, around that little crater. They're all from this same area.
Houston, I'm able to see any stratigraphy in any of these craters. The slumping has been such that, pretty much destroys.
Roger, Al, and assume position-wise you're past flank now, is that correct? Or at least the beam position of flank?
No, we're not, Fredo. We're not at flank yet. I'd say we're probably 15 minutes away from Weird. Hey, you got it on board?
Matter of fact, I think this is flank right here.
Get it on board?
I'll get the rock on board.
Okay, let's press.
Roger, and one other question up here is to check for the stratigraphy you reported earlier of the light gray-white layer below the top, if you see that exposed anywhere.
Okay, now,
Now, we did not see that until we started approaching the edge of the bowl of the field. There's no evidence of that at all that we noticed.
Not down this far. One thing I did notice, further outside of where we saw the white underneath, but it looked like an impact at either end of the white rock, or it was a splatter of white. And it was just outside where Al was reporting that the underlying layer was white. Matter of fact, no, it's just sun angle that's causing it. Right now, some of the spray that we're kicking up looks white underneath, but I'm convinced it's just the angle. I look back the other way, it's white underneath, but I'm convinced it's just the angle. I look back the other way, and it's not substantiated.
Roger, Ed.
Shepard, Mitchell heading downhill now toward Weird Crater, Station F, taking samples along the way. We're at 134 hours, 38 minutes ground elapsed time.
Hold it. That's what I'm trying to do.
Hours, 39 minutes ground elapsed time, and we're at 2 hours, 50 minutes since cabin depressurization. This is Apollo Control Houston, continuing to monitor.
Hey, we're moving along pretty well, Fred, at this point. I'd say we're still probably about 10 minutes away from Weird.
Very good, Al. Looks, sounds like you're making a little better time going down than up.
Yeah, the slope's a different way, Fredo.
In this case, the med helps. Okay, don't want me to lose that baby. That's it right there with the three.
Yep.
With the three rocks beyond it.
Yep.
Beginning down, and I really want to see it. It's probably flank right here, isn't it?
First, I'm not going to say if I get down and look at the exact pattern. It probably is, Al. But if this is really front flank, we should have been at the top of Cone Crater where we were.
Yeah, I know.
I think we've already passed flank.
Okay, it maybe looks down here, Ed, that maybe what you're looking at there, if you got another flank size crater, is the one by E.
Now, this is a big crater. It's 40, 50 meters across. It has a fairly sharp crater in the south edge of it, which is...
Okay, that looks like it may be the one by E.
Yep, I think that's it, Fredo. And it's, it's at least 50 or 60 feet deep.
Now we just grab a couple from right here.
Yep.
Okay. That baby came apart. Very soft.
Yeah, it's falling apart as you pick it up. Very crumbly, isn't it?
Hey, you got a bag, right?
Yep.
Very, very soft to rock. Remember that crater? Plus another one fairly close to it with some crystal in it. Be flashing now, going in the bag.
15 in.
Okay.
P Okay, copy, 15 in.
Hey, Mash?
Not quiet, let me get it in there.
Stay behind you, we don't want to lose anything there.
Okay.
Okay, that's where we're going, right there.
Yeah, going right for Wiggs. Head right for the big boulder, then Wiggs right beyond it.
All right.
Reporting they're about 3 minutes away from Weird.
Crater we're going by now. We're just to the north of it, Fredo. It's an old subdued crater.
You want to run over behind that boulder over there. I'll try to talk to you.
The other one has to get behind it and try to talk to you.
Oh, that's right.
I'll pull the bat. Go ahead.
Okay.
Second thought, maybe it's not big enough.
I don't know.
Don't think it is.
No, I guess not. There's a big old boulder. I'll take a picture of it anyway.
No, I didn't think so. I think this is it right here.
It's too small, I believe. Well, anyway, we're in the area, Houston.
I think I've managed to find it.
Okay, Al, I think the plan will fill us in as to the exact position now.
Okay, plan's underway now.
Shepard, Mitchell now at Weird Crater, completing their two tasks there to pick up lunar samples and take a photo panorama. We're at 134 hours, 48 minutes, ground elapsed time, 3 hours since time of cabin depressurization.
I guess this is going in bag 16, is that right, Ed?
This is in bag 17, Fred. 16 got used some time back.
Okay.
Okay, let's press on.
That's darn big, it's hard to fold up.
We got a pan and a grab sample. What else do we want from here, Houston?
Okay, that's it, Al. We'd like to proceed on to the North Triplet, and I'll give you the task when we get there.
Okay, we'll try to get the North Triplet.
You ran out from under me just as I was picking it up.
Oh, sorry.
Put back together here.
Shepard and Mitchell moving faster on this traverse back.